Hello, and welcome to this week's SearchCIO.com editorial podcast. I'm Joyce Chuchian, online editorial director for SearchCIO.com. Here's a roundup of the news, tips, and other resources you'll find this week on SearchCIO. A recent Forrester Research survey found that a majority of U.S. companies are now considering corporate blogs, but there are still plenty of businesses that are not convinced that blogging has business potential. Forrester Research surveyed 275 IT decision makers at U.S. companies with 500 or more employees and found that while 54% of those polled said they are blogging at some level or at least considering an investment, 46% have no plans to invest in blogs. One reason, according to Forrester analyst G. Oliver Young, is that strategic decision makers see adoption of blogs in the consumer world and the chaos that goes with them. But the main stumbling point, Young said, is that the business return isn't as revolutionary as most people expect. Blogging is used as a communications channel that allows for improvisation and flexibility. Still, it is not living up to the hype. Some companies, such as Eastman Kodak, have found blogging to be critically important, however. With the decline in film photography, Kodak had to make the difficult transition to digital photography. To ease the transition to digital, they had their employees start blogging to share their passion for photography. Kodak now has two blogs with about 50 employees contributing to them. One blog, called 1,000 Words, is where employees share their passion for photography and other personal interests. The blog receives up to 20,000 visitors per month. Kodak's other blog, 1,000 Nerds, is where Kodak scientists blog about research and development. That blog receives up to 10,000 visitors a month. According to Denise Stinardo, Kodak's corporate communications manager of new media, the blogs have received a lot of attention. Our motivation was to have the blogs as a digital communications medium to be a support for Kodak's transformation, Stinardo said. We wanted to give our consumers and potential customers an inside look at Kodak. Although it's not easy for Kodak to calculate the return on investment from its blogs, Stinardo says that the sheer volume of visitors has not only created a dialogue among customers and the company, but it has also helped educate the market about Kodak's new business initiatives as well as raised employee morale. Trying to get a CIO to discuss vendor maintenance versus third-party maintenance for that critical software that runs the company, and you'll probably get a polite, no thanks. Few CIOs are willing to publicly take sides in the ongoing Oracle lawsuit that accuses SAP of corporate theft on a grand scale. Oracle claims that SAP's subsidiary, Tomorrow Now, illicitly downloaded Oracle software. At the heart of the Oracle case is the economic value of the maintenance contract in a mature software industry and the viability of third-party support. SAP and Oracle are going head-to-head because SAP's Tomorrow Now provides maintenance support for Oracle's PeopleSoft. Ray Wang, an analyst at Forrester Research, says major software vendors are not giving third-party maintenance providers the access necessary for providing a high level of support. As a result, CIOs are held hostage to high annual maintenance fees. Is it worth $250,000 per year in support? Not by year 5 or 6, Wang said. Choosing a maintenance provider should be the software buyer's prerogative, but because the way most software licenses are negotiated, software owners are often owners in name only, Wang says. However, not every expert agrees. Jim Shepard, an analyst at AMR Research, says the premise of third-party maintenance is that the contractor, hired to act on the company's behalf, has exactly the same right to access as the company's employees. Shepard notes that it's the cost of doing business in a volatile environment that is subject to changes in both business practices and the technology itself. Companies should determine the quality of support they can get and how much they need. If you're using open source, you don't really need support because everything is out there, said Netflix co-founder Eric Meyer. But if you use a very complex software like an Oracle application, he said, it's obvious you want their support. Do the major software vendors have you over a barrel? Some CIOs say yes, some say no. If the software is strategic, you have little choice but to go with the vendor. But with static software, IT has a number of options, including negotiating for source code and maintaining the software in-house or outsourcing it. A new report suggests that the number of CIO jobs available in the U.S. is dwindling as businesses consolidate and centralize operations. but not all experts agree. CIO jobs in the mid-market and large companies are actually growing. The number of CIOs decreased in 2006 by 4%, according to a recent Forrester Research report. Forrester analyst Andrew Bartels attributed the change to increased mergers and consolidation of IT management jobs. The upshot? CIO jobs may be in short supply. Companies that might have had six CIOs for six different divisions have now migrated to one, Bartels said. They've centralized those IT activities to reduce costs overall. Partly as a result, salaries of those remaining CIOs increased nearly 5% last year. The good news, he added, is that of the 4% of former CIOs who lost that title in 2006, most are not out of a job, but instead working within IT organizations in a different role with a different title. But Mark Polansky, Managing Director of Information Technology Practice at the executive IT search firm Korn Ferry International, took issue with the report's findings. He noted that Korn Ferry performed about 10% more CIO searches during the 2006 fiscal year than in fiscal 2005. If anything, we've seen an increase in CIO jobs, and it's coming from large organizations that have never had a CIO before, Polansky said. And we're seeing a lot of small to mid-sized businesses taking an old MIS director position that used to report to the CFO and creating a CIO position that now reports to the president or a COO or a CEO. Bartels said that the growth of IT jobs is being driven by the need for IT pros who understand advanced business processes and how to use them most effectively. Companies are very heavily focused on how to get value from recently purchased technologies, he said. For example, many companies are migrating to service-oriented architecture. As for overall IT spending, Forrester found that the 2006 slowdown continued during the first quarter of 2007, but is expected to reverse itself by the second half of the year. Overall, Forrester predicts IT investments will grow at a rate of 6% in 2007, with total investments reaching nearly $370 billion, a $17 billion increase over 2006. Hewlett-Packard showed its determination to expand its network management software business when it announced it will acquire Opsware, a leader in software designed to automate the increasingly complex tasks of managing the data center. For $1.6 billion, HP is buying a mature management software vendor, which also offers enormous potential for growth. Opsware, based in Sunnyvale, California, also gives Hewlett-Packard another opportunity to move forward in a space where it hasn't been successful. Founded as LoudCloud by Netscape pioneer Mark Andreessen in 1999, Opsware is a more self-sufficient company than HP's previous investment, Novadigm, with broader offerings and a strong brand appeal. Opsware is the latest in a series of IT management software acquisitions by HP, including Mercury Interactive and Peregrine Systems. Opsware software works at both the data center and the desktop. The challenge for HP will be to hang on to the Opsware workforce. Opsware's 500 or so employees are expected to move to HP, but that doesn't always pan out. However, HP seems to have taken pains to signal its confidence in the Opsware staff. The big question is, will this deal deliver a sufficient return on the investment for HP? Regardless of the ROI, customers should still benefit. There are clear signs that your network is riding on fumes. Sluggish applications, frequent downtime, and inconsistent performance, to name a few. But a more compelling reason to upgrade your network infrastructure might be as simple as the shiny new network models on the showroom floor. Why so? Next-generation networks have intelligent security, mobility, virtualization, and acceleration built in directly. If you're not taking advantage of these benefits, it might be time to make a move. You need to invest in the right network management tools to handle a more complex network, says Robert Whiteley, a Forrester research analyst. A recent survey by Aberdeen Group found that adopting and integrating new network technologies is a top priority for 80% of the companies surveyed. 61% of those companies plan to transition to IP-based networks within the next 2 years. Although technology obsolescence is a driving factor for many, enterprises also believe that centralizing data centers can lead to improved productivity and reduction of telecom spending. Unified communications, voice over IP, and other applications are forcing a sea change, said Joe Basile, an Aberdeen research director. Indeed, when voice technology is added, vulnerabilities in a network are exposed. Adding voice requires the support of real-time applications, and even partial second delays are unacceptable. And quality of service is key. When selecting a network vendor or new network equipment, the ability to quickly process and manage traffic is typically on the top of the IT checklist. And measuring ROI from a network infrastructure standpoint is difficult without first looking at the overall business issues. For more details on upgrading networks and calculating the return on investment, view the searchcio.com ROI strategies tip, Network Upgrades Bring Faster Apps and ROI. Also available on SearchCIO this week is our executive guide on business process management systems and tools for CIOs. In this executive guide, CIOs can access valuable resources on how to optimize business processes to make the enterprise more effective and efficient. All these articles, tips, and other resources are available this week on searchcio.com. I'm Joyce Chachian. Thanks for listening.